Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon. We're going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. And just thank you for enabling us to be here today. We just pray that you would bless, use the program today to glorify and lift up Christ, Lord, and point people to him. And if there's one listening that needs to put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, just pray that perhaps something we talk about today you can use to point them to Christ through that. Bless the program for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. What a gorgeous day out there if you've had the chance to be out there. I think this week is the peak in Northeast Ohio, at least seems to be the peak for the color of the leaves. We went up to Ashtabula on Tuesday, and absolutely gorgeous. I mean, if you have opportunity to travel along 271, especially as you're going through northern Summit County, it just seems like the leaves have been particularly great. And then, of course, this morning we had to head down to Mansfield, and really just beautiful, beautiful fall colors all the way down. And then, of course, we were down there. A couple of kids that go to our church were involved in a program at the Christian school at Mansfield Baptist Temple, and it was a great program. The kids did a great job, and it's in conjunction with their missions conference. And I think one of the great parts of the program was listening to the kids singing Jesus Loves Me in probably about a dozen different languages. It was really kind of nice, but glad to be able to be there and appreciate the work that they're doing there. Let's see, something else I was going to get to here today, though, and of course you're welcome to call in if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air. Also wanted to mention that we have a new Facebook page. If you haven't heard about that yet, you can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can click on the link there to our new Facebook page for the radio program, Live with Pastor Al. And if you get to the page there and you're on Facebook, why don't you check in on our Facebook page and like us on Facebook. And bear with me, I'm new to Facebook. I'm a Facebook holdout. I have held out for a couple of years now, actively resisted going on Facebook. And took a deep breath and decided to go with it. We mentioned it last week. We've had a few people sign up, visit the page and like the page since then. And so we're glad to have you and glad to hear from people that are listening to the program. And we just hope we can be a blessing to you and try to get some things going with the new Facebook page. Just go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Well, I wanted to head off today with a story out of Texas, and it's not the story you're probably thinking of. I'm thinking of the story out of Houston, Texas, a story that doesn't seem to be making it into the major media other than Fox much, and that's the brouhaha in Houston, where they had passed a law or something in Houston saying that anybody can go into any restroom that they want to. And my focus is not so much on the law, but basically it's the bathroom law where if Jackie comes to a public building and Jackie feels that Jackie is Jackie with an I, Jackie can go into the women's restroom. because Jackie, though they may be biologically male, feels that their true gender is female, so they can go into the women's restroom. You can't stop them. Or if Jackie goes into a public building and wants to use the restroom, and Jackie feels that they're Jackie with a Y. Let's see, I would be the female version, Y would be the male version, I guess. And it's Jackie with a Y. It wouldn't matter if Jackie is biologically female, and yet today she feels like she's male in her gender. She can go into the men's room. You can't stop her. And a group of pastors, and this is getting to the crux of the story, a group of pastors in Houston decided that this was just wrong. And they talked about it, and they got together, and they decided to head up a petition drive to put a thing on the ballot where the voters of Houston could weigh in and decide whether or not they wanted to overturn Houston's bathroom law. And they got almost three times the number of signatures that were needed, like 50,000 or more signatures that they got, which was about three times more than what they actually needed. And the city of Houston threw the petition out on a technicality. And then if it had just stopped there, I probably wouldn't be talking about it on radio today, except maybe in passing to say, you know, look at this law, and why, what were they thinking passing this law? But here's where the problem came in. I heard about this originally. The Alliance Defending Freedom group. It's a group of attorneys that are defending freedom in the United States, whether it's a freedom for Christians or other freedoms. But they have been called in because the city of Houston has sent out subpoenas to these pastors that are involved in this petition drive. And in the subpoenas, they're demanding that the pastors provide not only copies of their sermons and sermon notes, but also emails, texts, other types of communications that they might have had with each other, with their churches, and between churches. And this subpoena also was commanding the pastors to appear in person at the city law office and to bring all of this stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I'd be glad to have people get my sermons. I mean, that's great. The problem is, I don't usually preach from notes. And so they'd have to go online and find them where they might be online or something, or just like this radio program. We don't do this radio program from notes, except for maybe to have some copies of news stories and things like that. And so they'd have to listen to recorded copies. But I was talking with somebody on LinkedIn and in our group, the Independent Fundamental Baptist Network, and one guy, I posted this, and one guy responded back, and he had a great idea. I love what his idea was. He said every preacher in town should hand a King James Bible to the mayor and tell her, this is my sermon outline. I thought, man, that's a tremendous idea. Not only should every pastor in Houston send her a Bible, but I think every pastor across America should send her a Bible. I think every Christian across America should send a Bible to the mayor of Houston. And but here's where it gets kind of interesting in this case. And I was going to focus on this a little bit here this afternoon, but we do have open phone lines. If you've got a question about this or something else, and in light of God's word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. But Houston's mayor, Annice Parker, I'll just stick with Mayor Parker here. She's trying to pretend that she knows nothing about this. And since the Alliance the Alliance Defending Freedom got involved here, the city is starting to, well, they're claiming that they're backing down, and they said this. This is the mayor said here, there's no question the wording on these subpoenas was overly broad, But I think there was some deliberate misinterpretation on the other side. And she continues I'll get to her continuing here in a minute, but the city attorney, David Feldman, he also weighed in, and he said, when I looked at it, I felt that it was overly broad. I would not have worded it that way myself. It's unfortunate that it has been construed as some sort of effort to infringe upon religious liberty. All we are looking for are communications from any of these pastors who are organizing the petition drive and any communications regarding the petition process. Now, remember, when they were asking for this, they were asking for all kinds of information. They wanted to know the sermons. They wanted to know the sermon notes. They wanted emails. They wanted phone calls and all this sort of stuff. They wanted to know who they texted, all this sort of stuff. And all of this is free protected speech under our Constitution here. We have freedom of religion. And the whole thing, this mayor is trying to say that, oh, this is all taken out of context. And she even went on to say that one word in a very long legal document, which I know nothing about and would never have read, and I vilified coast to coast, she said with a smile. It's a normal day at the office for me. Well, here's a problem. A day before she said that, it came out that she had tweeted out the following tweet. She said, if the five pastors used pulpits for politics, their sermons are fair game. Were their instructions given on filling out the anti-hero petition? Now, she tweeted that out on October 15th, and then on October 16th, or later on that day, I guess it is, that I got this on October 16th, is when she said she didn't know anything about this. And yet, here she was tweeting about it, speculating that their sermons are fair game if they use their pulpits for politics. So what's the purpose of making a statement like that? Could it be that she was trying to make a case that the pastors were using their pulpits to engage in political activity, which in this country, for some reason, we've decided shouldn't be done, and to try and get them to lose their tax-exempt status? I mean, that's a very real problem that could be there. But, you know, more than that, there's other things that would happen with this. It's a form of intimidation. If you don't like what we, the government, do, we're going to make things difficult for you. And here's the veiled threat, you know, the iron fist inside of the velvet glove, as it were. And the subpoenas, actually what they seem to do, and the story today is that they're backing down on them, but they have not fully backed down. They still think they're legitimate in demanding this information, of much of this information. And it seems like that the purpose of this is to intimidate pastors, to call them out and intimidate them, fishing for information from these churches and these pastors and their staffs. And then they're simply complying with the subpoenas that's going to tie up money that could be used elsewhere for the Lord's work, and tying up church staff is going to be tasked with gathering together and putting together all this information, and all of this because some pastors objected and used their position as pastors to address the morality of this issue and to urge people to do something about it. Now, we can be involved as pastors, as individual free citizens of this country. There's nothing wrong with that. And as pastors, we can even address moral issues of the day. Now, I know that according to the law, I'm not allowed to get into the pulpit and say, you must vote for so-and-so in an election. But I can certainly address moral issues from the pulpit and say, listen, there's an ordinance that is legalizing same-sex marriage, let's say, that or a charter amendment or amendment to the state constitution legalizing same-sex marriage. That's contrary to God's word. No Christian should be in favor of same-sex marriage because that's contrary to God's word. See, that's a moral issue. That's an issue that comes straight out of the word of God. And this is why I highlighted this case today. This one thing, people don't know about this. And things like this appear periodically. And this is one of the larger, more egregious cases of it because Houston's a large city. And, you know, it's a case that clearly violates our First Amendment rights. And I've spoken on the First Amendment before. If you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can find an audio clip from one of our previous programs where I went into depth about the First Amendment and the importance of the First Amendment, because most people do not realize that the First Amendment is all one sentence. And the reason it's all one sentence is because all of the freedoms that are mentioned in the First Amendment, free speech and freedom of the press and freedom of assembly and freedom to petition the government, all of that is derived from the first freedom that's mentioned in the First Amendment, and that's freedom of religion. Because remember, the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, comma, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, semicolon, or abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press, semicolon, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, comma, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, period. That's the entire First Amendment. See, it's because of Bible-believing Christians, primarily Baptists, in the early 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, that we have the First Amendment in our Constitution in the first place, because Baptists were subject to the loss of these freedoms. Let me give you an example. In the Massachusetts colony, before the Revolutionary War, the Massachusetts colony made it the Congregational Church the official state church. You had to be a member of it. You could not teach or preach or speak contrary to it. So because they had an official state church, you had no freedom of speech. Saying something, teaching something, preaching something contrary to the state church was punishable by fines, imprisonment, and being whipped. And then you had no right to print anything contrary to the Congregational Church. Let's say, for instance, you were a Bible-believing Baptist in Massachusetts, of which there were many, and you said, hey, baptism of babies by sprinkling is not scriptural. Scriptural baptism was always the immersion of people upon their profession of their faith in Christ. It wasn't sprinkling children sprinkling infants who were unable to comprehend the gospel message, much less make a profession of faith in Christ. And if you wrote a little tract or a little pamphlet and you cited all the Bible verses supporting your position and you published that, you could go to jail, you could be fined, you could be beaten in the public square because you were writing something contrary to the state religion, and also because you were advocating a position, so there's the contrary to the state's position, you were deemed a threat, and it was treasonous behavior. So you did not have freedom of speech, you did not have freedom of the press, and you certainly did not have the right to peaceably assemble. Because if you assembled as a church or a church meeting, if you assembled to hear what the Bible actually had to say, then the problem with that is you would be arrested, and people were. And I believe you can look up Obadiah Holmes and for the meeting that he was attending, that he was arrested, thrown in jail, and later beaten I believe it was in Boston, right there on the Commons. And there's a movie that was put out a few years back called As With Roses. They beat him so severely that he literally could not lay on his back for months later. And his back was so abused. They had actually hoped to kill him, probably, but God protected him during that, and he gave God the glory. He said that the strokes from the whip felt like roses, rose petals landing on his back. And so God protected him gloriously. But he was arrested for peaceably assembling contrary to the state's wishes. And he certainly did not have the right to petition the government of Massachusetts for a redress of grievances. So he had none of these freedoms, speech, press, assembly, or petition, because he did not have freedom of religion. And see, that's the danger with actions like the city of Houston and the mayor's office down there. When they begin telling pastors what they can or cannot preach, when they begin to harass them, and when they begin to do things to try to hinder them from preaching the Word of God, what's happening there is they're attacking their freedom of speech, their freedom of press, their right to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. In fact, just about all of those are under attack in that Houston case. One could say that the petition drive to get this on the ballot to repeal the bathroom law down there was a petition to the government for redress of grievances, and they squelched it. So we need to pray for these pastors down there. And while I'm at it, if you think about it, you can go online to the city of Houston's website. You can get the mayor's address, and you can send her a Bible and say, here's the sermon notes that any Bible-believing pastor should have. And wouldn't that be something if they got a couple hundred Bibles sent to their office saying, here's the sermon notes. Maybe one of them might read one of those Bibles. Maybe somebody in the mayor's office might read one and get educated. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got a caller calling in, and we've got John on the line. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Pastor
Al. Hey, John. Good to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I was kind of wondering about this, because now it seems to be happening more and more.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? Like, I mean, in Romans 13, the Bible tells us that the powers that be are ordained of God, and so that might include people like mayors and political officials.
And that mayor is responsible to God for abusing her position.
Yeah, that's what I would think. But see, remember, they told the apostles to stop preaching in Christ's name, and they said, well, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Right.
Sure, there comes a line there where, they're like saying, well, bring all this sermon content and then all these other things. And it seems to me like, well, bring the sermon content, yeah, because that can be a witness. But then they're saying things like, well, all email communications, all this other stuff. They're violating, the kind of their oath of office, aren't they, these government officials?
Right. They're supposed to, government officials are sworn into office. And when they're sworn into office, they take an oath. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution, to execute their duties faithfully.
That's right. And they're taking a lot of authority themselves, but they're not delegated.
Yeah. I appreciate the call there, John. The music's going. We got probably about 30 seconds left in the program. And go online if you get a chance and look up this thing with the mayor's subpoenas and read some more about it. Or you can even go to the Alliance Defending Freedom website, and they'll give you some good information. And if you feel led to send them a Bible, that'd be a good idea too there. John, thanks for your call. I'm going to have to let you go here, and we're going to wrap up the program here. And, freedom, it's a constant vigilance to keep freedom. So don't give up. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program.